Hope you have a wonderful Sunday morning, those that are here today and those that may be listening. I was thinking of an analogy, and we were talking earlier. Sometimes God is much greater than we are. What's a good way, a good analogy to explain how great God is, are the differences between man and God. Now, sometimes man will boast of what he's done and brags about what I've accomplished. Reminds me of the fable, the story of the elephant and the mouse. Now, the elephant and the mouse came across a bridge, and they started to walk across this bridge. Now, of course, an elephant is a pretty massive heavy thing, and a mouse is just a little guy, right? Just a little tiny little guy. Well, as they started walking across that bridge, every step of that mammoth elephant took, that bridge was cringing. It was just almost on the edge of crumbling down. The weight of that elephant, each step, the bridge was swaying and trembling. And as they walked across that bridge, pieces of that bridge were coming apart. It was coming loose. And as they continued to cross that bridge and got to the other side, the mouse turns to the elephant and says, "Boy, we really shook that up, didn't we?" You know, we didn't. God can shake it up. It's God's giant, enormous, wonderful love that will carry us across that bridge. We didn't get there ourselves. In the Take It Homes, and in our, I've been thinking about this and praying about this, and we have a decision coming. It's time to decide. We're facing some very, very important times ahead of us and our country. The world, these decisions are going to affect not only the world, it's going to affect our country. And most importantly, it will affect you. These choices will have an impact on each and every one of our everyday lives. How do we determine how to make these choices? How do we determine and be able to recognize what is truth? What is a lie? How do we ask for discernment to be able to understand and to make that decision? How do we do this? Well, first of all, let's start with the truth found in the Bible. This began with the truth and the light. Let's look to Jesus Christ. In John 8:12, Jesus is the light of the world, and in his world, the truth can be found. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:12. But whoever lives by the truth comes into that light, so it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. John 3:21. In John 3:19 through 21, as I study these scriptures, it's important that we put this together. So let me run this together. Let me run 19, 20, and 21 and listen for the message. Listen what the Lord is saying to us. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. We must have the big picture to see this battlefield from a higher observation point. try looking from God's view, not from a hole in the ground. That's Satan's playing field. In Proverbs 28:12, Proverbs, when the righteous triumph, there is great elation. But when the wicked rise to power, men go into hiding. In Proverbs 28:10, he who leads the upright along an evil path will fall into his own trap, but the blameless will receive a good inheritance. For a government or society to survive, it needs wise, informed leaders. And I underline the word leaders. Leaders and rulers are different. A ruler may mean that there's anarchy, and that's prevailing. Each person who has selfishness quickly affects others. A selfish employee who steals from his employer ruins the productivity of that company. And what can happen, of course, is that company can go out of business and he's going to lose his job. A selfish driver who drinks or does drugs before they decide to take the wheel of that car makes the highways unsafe, and innocent people get hurt. A selfish spouse who has an adulterous affair often breaks up several families, not just their immediate family. When enough people live for themselves with little concern for how their actions affect others, the resulting morale decay contaminates the entire nation. Proverbs 28:2. When a country is rebellious, it has many rulers, but a man of understanding and knowledge maintains order. I see a clear and ominous choice. And I've prayed and I've received a clear direction to go. I will go with God. In Proverbs 28:5, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it fully. I see more and more need to stand up now. And I'm not alone. This country was blessed and is blessed. Amen. How do I know? I know by the people that are standing up now. I know by the men and women that are standing up now. And by good men, my good women, they're standing up for our Lord Jesus Christ. In the handouts that I have provided today, I've also provided a picture and a quote. And the quote are the recent words of America's great evangelist, Billy Graham, who, by the way, first stood on the streets of our town, Tampa, Florida, many, many years ago, and began an incredible, incredible ministry. There's a street plaque that marks that very spot where he stood and told the world of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I'm going to quote Billy Graham, and this was released this week. The title is Voting Biblical Values on Tuesday, November 6th. And I quote, "The legacy we leave behind for our children and grandchildren and this great nation is crucial. As I approach my 94th birthday, I realize the election could be my last. I believe it's very important that we cast our ballots for candidates who base their decisions on biblical principles and support the nation of Israel. I urge you to vote for those who protect the sanctity of life and support the biblical definition of a marriage between a man and a woman. Vote for biblical values this November 6th and pray with me that America will remain one nation under God. Yeah. Billy Graham. In Proverbs 29:16, when the wicked thrive, so does sin, but the righteousness will see their downfall. When the wicked are in leadership, sin prevails. In any organization, whether a church, a business, or a family, or a government, the climate comes from the top. The people become like their leaders. What kind of climate do you see today? The truth is here in the Bible. What can we find on the qualities of a good leader? Let's look what the Bible says. First of all, I will identify a quality that should be of a good leader, and I will identify a biblical backup for that quality. The first quality should be diligence. Proverbs 12:24. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in a slaved labor. Once again, that's Proverbs 12:24. Another important quality for a leader has he has trustworthy messengers. Think about what's going on. He has trustworthy messengers. Proverbs 13:17. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a trustworthy envoy brings healing. Amen. Folks, this is direct from the Bible. This is where I'm seeking the truth. Another quality of a leader, he doesn't penalize people for integrity. In Proverbs 17:26, boy, this is powerful. It is not good to punish an innocent man or to flog officials for their integrity. What's another qualification? Another qualification for a good leader? He listens before answering. In Proverbs 18:13, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and shame. Qualities for a good leader: able to discern. In Proverbs 18:15, the heart of discerning acquires knowledge. The ears of the wise seek it out. What's another important quality? Another important quality for a leader? He listens to both sides of the story. In Proverbs 18:17, the first to present his case, it seems right, till another comes forward and questions him. A very important quality, of course, stands up under adversity. Think what's happening today. Stands up under adversity. If you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Amen. Stands up under praise. Now, Proverbs 27:21. The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold. But man is tested by praise he receives. Let me further explain that. Praise tests a person just as a high temperature tests metal. Your attitude toward praise tells a lot about your character. People of high integrity are not swayed by praise. They are tuned to their inner convictions, and they do what they should, whether or not there's praise or being praised for it. What happens without good leadership? First of all, honoring the wrong people backfires. In Proverbs 26:8, like tying a stone in a sling, we take a stone and we tied it into the sling. Tying a stone in a sling is the giving of honor to a fool. No matter how many times you're going to try to fire that rock, it's stuck in there. And a fool will keep doing that. We understand that? It's so just straight out there. A wicked ruler is dangerous. Proverbs 28:15. Like a roaring lion or a charging bear is a wicked man ruling over a helpless people. What happens without good leadership? People despair. In Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. A wicked ruler has wicked officials. Proverbs 29:12. If a ruler listens to lies of all his officials, if a ruler listens to lies, all his officials become wicked. Mm-hmm. Now I'm presenting to you a sermon that what the Word of God says. The truth is standing strong. I pray that you look and see and find the right decision. We all face for the future. All of us need to pray for our nation. I thank you, Jesus, for the freedom we have in America to worship and to gather together in our church and to say to all, Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Call on Him. Listen for His voice in your heart. Praise Him for our freedom in Him, our freedom of sin, enslavement, and rejoice, our freedom from sin's enslavement, and rejoice when we are saved from the fires of hell. We will be in His kingdom in heaven with Jesus for eternity. Bless us all, and God bless the land of the free. I pray in the name above that all names of Jesus Christ at November 6th, Election Day, I pray that the Lord will see a nation coming back to God, mm-hmm. back from all of the world's entrapments and lies of deceit and the tearing down of Christian values. Stand with Jesus. Don't be afraid of ridicule or scoffing from the unbelievers. And Proverbs 29:8 says, mockers stir up a city, but a wise man turns away anger. Mm-hmm. Stand firm in the Lord. You can hear and do what is right. Remove the shackles of dissent. Let the Holy Spirit sing to your heart. And listen to the words of righteousness. Put the Word of God in your heart. Look at who is seeking to be a ruler or a leader. In Proverbs 29:30, do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him. In Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirs up dissension. And a hot-tempered one commits many sins. Mm-hmm. Guys, this is just nuclear. Amen. In 29:24, Proverbs, the accompanist of a thief is his own enemy. The accompanist of a thief. He is put under oath and dare not testify.
That's right.
We've heard that.
In Proverbs 29:25, Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. In Proverbs 29:27, the righteous detest the dishonest. The wicked detest the upright. In my hands, for those of you that are listening to this on the internet, I am holding a sample ballot that we're going to be using November 6th. You're looking for directions? You may want to read through this. It's going to take a while unless you take a look at this before you go into the election booth. Read and see who's running. What are they standing for? Ask and seek the truth. I hold up the Bible to the ballot. Looking for guidance, looking at who we should vote for, what issues are important, what issues are not. Use this to determine this. Stand with Jesus Christ as your guide. Read and understand what you're voting for or against. Use the Bible and remember Proverbs 30:5. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do what's right for our country and our future. God bless you, and God bless our home, sweet home America. And as written on our church wall, there is a banner on our church wall, and I wish that everybody that's hearing this will take a look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then they will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their nation. The decision is ours. We need to understand that we have to step up and make it. We can't sit home. If we're a registered voter, we need to stand up. And I know that something is happening in this country. I know that there is a movement going on. We can see that the people in this country want their country back. They want their values to count. They want their voice to count. They want their God to count. They're tired of being dismissed. They're tired of us being laughed at because of who we believe and what we believe in. And we're tired of hearing it. So what do? We push back by standing up with the Lord. We push back by standing up for what the truth is, because this needs to be under the direction of this. So I hold up the ballot and I hold up the Bible for those that can't see me. This is the ultimate test for our freedom and our future. And I go with this, the Holy Bible. And I ask that before you make those decisions in November 6th, take a look what I said here. Go through everything that I've said. It comes directly from the Word of God, written in the Holy Bible. Verify it. Ask your heart to receive it. And God bless you in your decisions. Thank you so much for listening today. God bless.